Let's get serious. Chapter 14. This is a neat chapter, buddy. Are you ready to go? Here we go. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Larry, here we go. And I looked, John says, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Sinai.
Wow.
And with him 144,000, having his father's names written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of the harpers harping with their harps. For where? And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among the men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. Thy heads with me, please. Father, bless this moment. As we look into your word, Father, may we always be mindful and so thankful, Father, for your grace. Father, may your word come alive on the page as we get closer to the second coming of Jesus. Father, may we truly understand your grace this hour. And we thank you for it. Jesus' most holy and precious name we pray. And everyone said,
amen.
You remember this group, 144,000? It's a pretty unique group. You know, we mentioned them back in chapter 7. And we said there's always been a big discussion about who these 144,000 people are. But we all know that they came out of the 12 tribes of Israel, which means they're Jewish people. And these were people that were set aside to be the evangelist, if you will, of all of this time during the tribulation period, because the Jewish people are going to realize, obviously, after the rapture of the church and we're gone, they're going to know, hey, they sort of missed the boat, if you'll let me use that phrase. And they're going to understand now that Jesus really is the Lamb of God. And they are going to become tremendous witnesses during a very horrible time. As we get closer to the end of this seven-year period of time, as we well know, as I've told you, the Antichrist will get more and more and more powerful, more and more mean. He's going to truly become Satan in the flesh. We just got to be talking about how he's going to have to take the mark in chapter 13. He's going to say this to the people who are alive at the time. You take the mark, 666, forehead, hand, forearm, wherever it is that they're going to put it. This means that if you do this, you'll be able to buy and sell, you'll be able to eat. If you don't take it, you're probably going to starve to death. But there will be people who will not take this mark. This 144,000 will be an absolute thorn in the side to the Antichrist. Now, at this point in time, as we're getting into probably the last of this seven-year period of time, things are going to go from bad to worse. Basically, what we're going to look at, we're going to take just a moment to say, hey, the 144,000 did their job, and now they're going to be with Jesus. Now, in describing these, here's a real neat phrase. You know, those of us who are saved and redeemed during the church age, we're going to have a song that's going to be unique to us. Well, this 144,000 is going to have a song unique to them because they're going to see a lot. Now, they're going to be protected by God, but they're going to see a lot. And I like this here. So this is a new song. A new song before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders, which means they're in heaven now with us. See, we're already there. Remember that? We're already there. We're praising God. So now they join us in heaven. And they're singing a song, and we're just sitting back and we're enjoying it. It's just like when someone walks down this aisle and saved. We rejoice at that, don't we? We're already saved. But now they walk down the aisle. They give their life to Jesus. We come up and we hug them. And we welcome them to the family of God. It's like, hey, we're welcoming these people home. Now they got a song to sing, to praise God. It says, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. And we're going to talk about this. These are they which follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. They were redeemed from being the first fruits unto God. Basically, when it says first fruits unto God, these are the first people who are going to acknowledge and said, hey, Jesus is the Son of God. In other words, they're going to be the first to join the revival right after the rapture of the church. Now, when it says here that these were not defiled with women, for they are virgins, there's a lot of people who have a lot of different opinions on this. A lot of people seem to think that if it's never with virgins, it's all men. That would make sense, wouldn't it? Also, a lot of scholars believe to think that, you know, there's men and women involved in this. And basically what this is saying is a way of saying that they never, ever followed Satan. Like I'm going to do just, this thing's feeding back just a little bit. I think people can still...
Everybody still hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right, I think even people who watch you by the internet, and we'll work on this and turn this down just a little bit. Because I may get to hollering here, and if I holler very loud, I'm just going to vibrate the whole building. So, anyway, hopefully everybody will still be able to hear me on the internet and this. But they're not defiled with women, for they are virgins, which means basically they never followed the Antichrist. They never took the mark of the beast. They lived out their salvation. They accepted Jesus. They were serious about it. They never, ever came in contact or had anything to do with the Antichrist. They were on a mission, and they were there to tell people that Jesus is alive and well. Now, that's the way I see it. And it could be, maybe it was all men, but I find it hard to believe that just all men would be witnesses for Jesus. I think it just means that they never, ever had anything to do with the Antichrist. They belonged to Jesus. They represented Jesus and literally would die for Jesus because they loved him that much. Give these people a hand. Alright, Larry, here we go. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God. Which means, no matter how bad it got, they never, ever said anything about God in any derogatory manner. They loved Jesus. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. This is literally the last call before the second coming of Jesus. Things are going to get worse, and we're going to see real fast how bad, and stuff's going to move fast. At this point in time, we're getting closer and closer to the second coming. Now, when I say second coming, understand something. The second coming of Jesus is when he steps back on this planet. The rapture of the church that you and I experienced 7 years before this time, that's the rapture of the church. That's not the second coming, because we joined Jesus where? In the air. He never set foot on this planet. The second coming of Jesus is the battle of Armageddon when he comes back to clean everything up. As we get closer to it, we're going to see glimpses of this even in the 14th chapter. Two different versions. We'll make sure you understand what that means. The second coming of Jesus is literally the second coming of him being setting foot back on this planet. There is a difference from that and the rapture of the church, which is, we think, can take place any day. Any day. Because once that trumpet sounds, we're going to be cleansed in the blink of an eye. And we're going to join him in heaven. You understand the two different versions? Say amen.
Amen.
That's what that means. All right. Now, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach. The last bit of evangelism that's going to take place before the second coming of Jesus is this: basically, you're going to hear this globe. This voice is going to go global, calling for the last invitation to begin. In other words, this is your last chance. Pick your battles. Pick your side. Are you for Satan? Are you for Jesus? Really, we can say that today. We're in the last days today. The time is here for us. People need to be picking their sides. So let me tell you, some people are. This church ought to be full. It's not full because people are picking sides. Some people are just saying, nah, I'm just going to ride it out. I'm going to ride it on my own. I'm just going to stay home and let this thing play out. You know, people, either you love Jesus or you don't. The games are over. And listen to me. I don't care. Whatever. There are people here today that took a lot of effort to get here because they want to be here. Some of you are sick. Some of you are handicapped. Some of you come in here on a walker. And people who tell me, I just don't know if I can get to church tonight. I promise you, when the trumpet sounds and they miss this ride, they don't wish to God they'd have got here in a wheelchair, a bed, or any other thing to get to church for what they're going to see on the next 7 years.
Amen.
This is just going to be a tremendous description of what really hell is going to be like. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here, though, is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God, the faith of Jesus. In the world we live in today, we're going to have patience, because it looks like that Satan's in control of everything. This world's going downhill fast. We're experiencing and seeing stuff on this planet that is horrible. And yet we haven't touched the surface of what they're going to see during the 7-year tribulation. But listen to me. God's people, hang on with patience. Hang on. Hang on. Do not let go of God, because one day this is all coming to an end. And Jesus will be on the throne. His glory will last forever, and we will be with him forever. Hang on. Hang on. Hang on. Be patient. Be patient. Jesus is coming. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, he saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, upon the cloud one sent like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and on his hand a sharp sickle. All this to say in verse 13, you'd be better off dead than to be with Satan. This is what it's saying. Because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to take the mark of the beast, and Satan's going to slaughter these people. He's saying, hang on, even if you die, that your day is coming. Resurrection day is coming. You will be with me forever. Hang on, hang on. But you're better off dying in Jesus than living with this idiot called the beast, called the Antichrist, called Satan. Pick your battles. Understand, even those who die, they're better off. And believe me, in a lot of ways, the people who have gone on, who we have as family, who've gone on to be with the Lord, they're better off than you and I are. It's only as good as they got to be. Wouldn't have them back. I miss my father, think of him every day, but I wouldn't have him back in this mess for love or money.
Amen.
I wouldn't have him back here, because he's in heaven. When I leave this world, you may, you know, mourn over missing me. I mean, some of you miss me, some of you may not. But hey, don't have me back. Don't bring me back. You bring me back to life, I'll haunt you. Don't do that nonsense. Because I'm going to be in heaven.
Amen.
Wow. Now, judgment is coming. I want you to look how horrible this judgment is. Here is the white cloud. Here is Jesus. Having on his head a golden crown, in his hand, he's getting ready to clean house. Sharp blade, sickle. I want you to get the picture. Jesus is getting ready to clean this place up. Because we're coming back home. Look what happens. Larry? And another angel came out of the temple, saying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Ripe with sin. Satan, when he is at the most all-powerful, when he thinks he's got it whipped, he's going down. It's ripe with sin. It's ripe with sin now. He that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Go ahead. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven. He also had a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out, wine press even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. This battle of Armageddon comes. We're just a few weeks away from it. The blood is going to be as deep as the bottom of a horse, and it's going to be over 200 miles long. Jesus is going to wipe the face of the earth with sin. And it's not, his blood, listen to me one time. His blood was shed one time, and one time only. The next time the blood is shed, it's going to be sin, not Jesus. He died once. The next time he comes back, baby, it's not with grace, it's with judgment. Pick your battles, pick your sides. Right now, you can still be under the grace of God. One day, you're going to be under the wrath of God. His blood can cover your sin, but one day, your blood's going to cover this earth. It's your choice. It's your choice. But here's what this tells me. This tells me that there's going to be a lot more people that's going to be on the side of Satan than on the side of Jesus. Can you imagine that kind of a blood river that's coming? Let me tell you something. When Jesus cleanses, he's going to cleanse it. And when we get to this battle, when we get there, we're just a few weeks away from it. He's bringing an army with him. He don't need an army. I promise you. Jesus doesn't need anybody. But he's going to bring an army with him. You and I are that army.
Amen.
We're coming back home. We're going to leave this place for a while. But there's going to be a reunion one day. And when we come back the second time, this place will be a different place. Because now, it's like Republicans, Democrats, rulers, kings, countries, communism, whatever is ruling this world, it's going to be Jesus. It's going to be Jesus. It's going to be Jesus.
Amen.
Give all the applause. Would you stand with me, please?
Stephanie, what's our invitation?